So thank God we have finished 1 week of NYTS. To me, the most important thing to come to NYTS is to get closer to God, especially in our prayer. So I hope that you have good prayer. Now, how's your prayer? Now, show me your thumb. Now, show me your thumb. This way, this way, this way, this way. Your prayer? Okay, thank you. Hopefully you can continue to have good prayer. It's good that we can pray together because this is the house of the Holy Spirit. When we are together, it's much easier that we can have the fullness of Holy Spirit. And especially you can pray in groups. You sleep together in 1 week already. Brother's size. Sisters, you have your own group member, you care for one another, and then you can intercede for one another. Intercession is a very powerful prayer because intercession is a prayer of love. Huh? A lot of time, you can enter into the fullness of Holy Spirit even when you intercede for other people. So let's cherish this moment to intercede for other people. I spent a lot of time talking about the uniqueness of Luke, because I think you know the four gospels quite well, especially you hear it a lot. So let us spend more time on this so we can see indeed Luke is a little bit different when he tried to emphasize something from other gospels. One of the features of the book of Luke, it is you have many parables, much more parables than other gospels. Some people calculate there are probably around, it's only approximate, around 40 parables, in the Gospels. But 28 of them can be found in the book of Luke. And you know that is synoptic. So there are some parables can see in the other three books, right, together. But there are about 15 unique parables you cannot find the book of Mark or book of Matthew. So you can see Luke is very special in Jesus' parables. Now, does anybody know why, what is parable for? Why Jesus speak parable? Anybody? Why Jesus needs to use parable? Anyone? Hello? Yes? Okay, that's very good. Please turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 9. Can we put this on the test? Luke chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. 8, verse 9 and 10. Kyle, can you read? I can remember only so a few names, so probably when I call you, that means I still remember your name. 9 and 10. Concerning the mysteries of kingdom of God, a lot of time Jesus used parables and explained the mysteries of kingdom of God to disciples alone so that outsiders cannot understand. So that, apostles can continue to take over the baton of preaching. Let's read Revelation. Revelation talk about a scroll that has been opened by the Lamb of God. And the scroll become a little scroll. And the little scroll, because it has been open, so become a little scroll. And the little scroll later on was in the, where is the little scroll? Later on it was eaten by John. John was originally like an audience watching the movie, watching the opening of all the visions of the scrolls. But later on the scrolls was eaten by John. Revelation chapter 10. This is why, this is to supplement why parable is only for apostles, only for God's followers. Revelation 10, verse 8 to 11. 8 to 11, David from SD, right? Amen. So again, you can see all the mysteries concerning the last days was now in the stomach of John, of John the apostles. And after he knew all the mysteries, then he was requested to preach, to give warning concerning the last days. Actually, those type of message actually is to fulfill one of the prophecy in Isaiah. This is a fact, even nowadays, right? When people listen to the sermon, sometimes their ears are 心蒙子油耳朵花尘啊. The heart was covered with a layer of oil, and the ear was what? 耳朵花尘. The ear was what? Anyway. I don't know. Let's read Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 9. When Isaiah says, send me, I can preach. What did the Lord talk to Isaiah? Chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Endishe. Yes, ears heavy. Huh? I was looking for this word. Okay, continue. Why Jesus do that? Why the Lord do that? Why God do that? This is called chosen. Huh? The salvation is for many people, but many people choose to reject. But authority is in God, right? So actually, the authority is on God. After sin came into this world, people's under bondage of sin. Therefore, naturally, they are entangled by the sin, entangled by the material possessing. Therefore, naturally, their ears are heavy, hearts has a layer of oil, eyes are fumi, dual. So they truly cannot see. And then God came, when Paul was preaching, he opened the hearts of the one who sold the purple clothing, Lydia. The Bible says God opened her heart so she can understand. Huh? So truly, many mysteries, if God do not open people's heart, even though they hear, they cannot understand. Of course, it is from the angle of God's chosen. I'll talk about the angle of God's chosen. So let's come back to the conclusion. So parable is so that mystery of kingdom is for you to know, not for ordinary people. And you can continue to preach the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Any question concerning this? But a lot of parable, this is my personal opinion, I'll take it for reference. A lot of parable in the Bible, actually, if not have to do with the kingdom of God, could be easier to understand, like telling the story. How many of you read Yisuo Yiyan? How do you say Yisuo Yiyan in English? Huh? How do you say Yisuo Yiyan in English? Huh? Aesop's fable? Is it easy to understand? Why do you think Luke used a lot of parables instead of Matthew? Why? Anybody? We just mentioned one reason, right? What could be the second reason? Now, in the evangelical services, right? If you just give a lot of theological theory, do you think true seeker can understand? Comparing with you give a lot of theological theory in evangelical service with you giving a lot of testimonies, which type of message is easier to understand to Gentile people? Hello? Jason? Yeah, Jason. Yes. Huh? To tell the story. Remember, Book of Luke is geared to who? It's written to who? Hello? Huh? Gentiles. It's written for Greeks. They have no understanding of scriptures in the Old Testament. Therefore, storytelling or parable, if it had nothing to do with the kingdom of God, storytelling is easier for people to take it. How many of you are preparing to give sermon this time? So, you know, let me ask another question. In a podium service, right, in a Sabbath morning services, what do you think the average, intellectually average, what is the best way to describe it? The average intellectual age of the audience. Does it make sense? Average intellectual age. Yes, I think it makes sense. What do you think we should treat the audience like what grade? College kids? High school kids or elementary kids? Sabbath morning, not Friday night. Oh. What do you think? Huh? Middle school. Okay, thank you. Oh. I read an article, it says I better treat them like sixth graders. Not to underestimate their level of understanding, but on Sabbath service, like because there are many people who do not read Bible at home. So they better give parables or stories or testimonies, right? But like Friday night, those who came to church on Friday night, they are very likely they know the Bible quite well. You can give a lot of theological teachings. You can give more in-depth teaching. Like this is called NYTS. We give you a lot of maybe a little bit, something that you may not hear in the Sabbath morning services. We want to go into a little bit depth so you can preach in the future. But for you, like to preach to IE students, storytelling is a very effective way, or testimony sharing is a very effective way to convey the message of God. That's why you can see Book of Luke is for Gentile people. Therefore, it has more parables. And many of them, of course, have to do with daily teachings, not the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mystery of kingdom of God is for apostles to pass on. So I guess there are two purposes for parables. So you understand, right? This is going to be in the test. What do you think? All right? The book of Luke, comparing with the other gospels, it really promoted women. You know, women in that generation, they have no social status. They rely on men. And, like, this is how the society was a male-centered society. Oh. But mentioned many stories of women, and most of the stories are good. Women are good. Oh. Go to there first. I just collect a few of them, and that's why I study a few of them. So the gospel tried to say, you know, there are many good merit virtues that we can learn from sisters. Now, we already talked about the virtue of Mary on Friday night, right? What is the virtue of Mary? How come he was chosen? Anybody? Why Mary was chosen? Now, Kevin, remember, Kevin in the red. Elizabeth. Okay, see, meditate. 反复思想. Yes. Huh? Like Mao Zedong says, oh, 女人可顶半边天啊, huh? If you understand Mandarin. In the kingdom of God, if in the kingdom of God, women indeed play a very important role. This is what Luke tried to tell us. Let's read about Elizabeth's story. I'm going to go very slow so that, I won't be able to finish the teachings, but let's try to learn something, huh? So Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, he talk about Mary went to Elizabeth's house. And Mary went to Elizabeth's house. Elizabeth was pregnant for how many months already? How many months? 6 months. That's right. Okay. Please read verse 40. 1 verse 40. Huh? 41, sorry. Okay, so you can see that this woman, she was filled with Holy Spirit, and her womb started to jump, right? And she called out loud, verse 42. Maria, you are blessed, right? And your womb is also blessed. So, Samuel, can you read? Yes, the baby jumped and rejoiced, right? So you can see, they greet one another. It's a very joyful thing to see one another. They are full of joy. The baby have joy, and she was filled with Holy Spirit, and they bless one another, right? When you, they say that you are blessed. They greet each other with blessings, and they say, in verse 45 says that what the Lord say will be fulfilled in among them. It is filled with the word of God. So what can we learn from this story? I learned something. When we are together in the Lord, it is really very joyful. Do you feel joyful when you are in NYTSC, brothers and sisters? Huh? Some people told me that, you know, every time they come to NYTSC, it's very joyful because it is in the Lord. And at the same time, we can see one another. I still remember one brother who do not have RE most of the time because, what should I say, maybe they have RE. Anyway, he was in a remote area. And when, first time he came to join SSC, traveled from other states to join one of the regional SSC. When she departed from SSC, the father said, she was in tears. And see, the father said, the kid keep saying that, I don't want to depart from here. I don't want to depart from here. Do you have that type of feeling? You don't want to depart from here. And even moved to tears. I still remember that was my experience when I joined the Taiwan's first SSC in my life. Especially last day we have so-called farewell party, right? 习别会, singing and performing, and I just feel like the joy was so overwhelming. And I feel like, I don't want to live here. This is so good, right? So from Elizabeth, meeting of Elizabeth and Mary, you can see, even the baby was so joyful, and she has the fullness of Holy Spirit. Let me ask you another question. How come at that time Jesus was not resurrected, she had the fullness of Holy Spirit? What does it mean? What can we learn from this? Huh? So does it mean that you don't need to speak in tongues to have fullness of Holy Spirit nowadays? What is it? Anybody? Anyone? Now let's read John chapter. Chapter 7, verse 39. 739. Maybe you start from 37. Huh? How many caverns are here? I noticed that there are many caverns. Can you raise your hand, Kevin? Only two? Only two caverns? Oh, three caverns. Okay. Okay, thank you, Kevin. Because I realize many Kevin over here. Kevin, another Kevin. Kevin from Philly, can you read? Chapter 7, verse 37. So according to this verse, Holy Spirit was not given yet because Jesus Christ was not glorified yet. Then how come Elizabeth have the fullness of Holy Spirit? What does it mean? How do you explain? Holy Spirit did not come down yet. How come? Yes, Kyle. Yes. You must have joined IHTS. Okay. Yes. Holy Spirit was there since day one, right? Holy Spirit moved halfway on the water. And people can have the fullness of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can move upon them, but they can go. This is not what Jesus has promised. What Jesus promised is only given after Jesus go to heaven. And then Jesus first received it and sent it down. That is the promised one. That have to do with speaking in tongue, and that have to do with salvation. Now, this one is the working one. It's the one, because Jesus was not crucified yet. There was no blood redemption. Holy Spirit cannot indwelling in person forever, but they can move and feel for a short time just to carry out the work of God. Or in this case, give them joy at that time. So let's read John. John, chapter 16, chapter 14, verse 14, 16. Is there any Jason? I think there's Jason here too. How many Jason here? Raise your hand, Jason. Only one. Hey, how come? I thought there are more. Andrew from, please read. I will give you a helper. He will abide with you forever. 17. Continue. He will dwell within you. Within you. So the promised one that Jesus promised is very different from, the function is very different. Like what Jesus promised is what? Will be with you forever and will be within you. And what Elizabeth received is a movement, move him fully, right? But then he will go. It won't stay with her forever. So this is something that we got to understand. So nowadays, in this era, after Jesus has been glorified, when we talk about fullness of Holy Spirit, it's indeed by the evidence of speaking in tongues. So, but even though you cannot speak in tongues right now, doesn't mean God do not listen to your prayer. doesn't mean you cannot have the very strong movement of the Holy Spirit. That movement can be fill your heart too, make you very joyful. So this is we can learn from Elizabeth's story. Let's read another woman. Huh? This woman talk about her gardenness. Huh? Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Luke 2, 36. Joe Huang. Continue. Amen. So indeed, this is what prophetess is, right? Do we allow sister to give sermon in True Jesus Church? Do we allow? Yes, huh? Because they are prophetesses. In Taiwan, we have female preachers. In mainland China, we also have female preachers. So from the Bible's perspective, indeed they are prophetesses. This year we recruit our two TTP students. They are sisters. One is a counselor, I think. Do you know who? Okay. She's here. She will study in RE field. So after she graduated from TTP, she will serve in RE field. Another one is from literary department. After she graduated, she's not going to go. She's going to be auditing only. She is going to write for the Lord, and then she needs theological training. So sisters, actually, you have chance also to join the missionary. And you can be an IE teacher. You can give sermon if the local church is open enough. It's nothing to do with the Bible standard. A lot of time it have to do with the local church decision. If the local church member, they are open enough, you can be a prophetess, just like Anna. And Anna, she is very special. She did not have a husband for about, my version says that she was now 84 years. In another translation, it says that 84 years as a widow, only with her husband for 7 years. This is really, some sister really love the Lord so much, you know, that they truly dedicate their life, never depart from the temple. The Bible says she never depart from the temple. In Taiwan, we have a lot of church cares because the church building is big. We need someone to live in the church. And their job is to care for the church, like maybe cleaning, maybe cooking for workers. They have some job assignments. And indeed, many of them who do these jobs are widows because they don't have husband. The Bible says, if you have husband, you try to please your husband. If you do not have husband, you try to please the Lord. So this is indeed a very beautiful work some sister has. And most important thing is that because they never depart from the temple and she fast. 禁食祈求 不离开圣殿,禁食祈求,昼夜侍奉神. She fast and served the Lord, day and night, served the Lord day and night. You don't see this in the USA, huh? in your life, if anything that is truly troubling you, you cannot solve it. Fasting is a very powerful prayer. Oh, very powerful. We do not use fasting to force God, but fasting indeed can touch God. Because you humble yourself in front of God. I knew an elder also shared with us when his wife got sick with her stomach. No matter how hard they pray or how many physicians they go to, it was not working. So his wife and her started fasting for a long time, and thank God later on, it was cured. So I can say, Anna indeed, she fast and served the Lord in the temple. If this opportunity was there, maybe some sisters, when you have no family at that time, you can consider about it, truly. Like in Argentina, in churches in South Africa, we all hope that people can live in the church to take care of the church. Of course, in USA, we have different environment. It's a little bit different. My mom was not as zealous before she received Holy Spirit. Just like many brothers and sisters was like that, because you don't feel like God is indeed exist, you know. A lot of time after you receive Holy Spirit, everything is very different. Now, when my mom received Holy Spirit, she saw a vision about the paradise, just like Sister Victoria saw a paradise. But I think I maybe share this with you. She angel show her houses of members. Like when you receive Holy Spirit, you are guaranteed to have the inheritance. When the Bible says inheritance, use human understanding is that you have a house. Of course, I don't know in real your house or not, but use human understanding is that you have God prepared a beautiful place. Actually, Jesus even says so. There are rooms in heaven I prepare for you, right? And she saw a very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful house. And there was a name on the house. And that name is the person who take care of Toku Church in Taiwan. She is the widow. She was the widow. Her husband passed away. After she became a widow, she just stayed in the church and take care of the church day and night. Indeed, her house is a reward in Heavenly Kingdom. Is my mom says she has the biggest house. So, brethren, indeed, Anna showed a very good example in praying, in prophesying, in serving God day and night. Live a very meaningful life. So again, I'm trying to say is that Luke's really, can you imagine that in Luke's foretelling Jesus' future, there are two persons. One is male, one is female. One is semen, right? Semen, right? Right? In Luke 2, right? The other is who? Anna, right? So it tells you that sisters are equally important in the kingdom of God. Let's read another story. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. Maybe 12 from 14, huh? 12 from 14. Joseph, Raymond's son, Joseph. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. So Joseph, 11. What is the meaning of Nain? not in. Anybody check Bible dictionary? Do you have Bible dictionary? What does it mean? Huh? Pastor?
Pasture.
Pasture, field, beautiful, yeah? Pasture. Pasture, is it? Some people use this story to teach a topic called beauty and sorrow. Pasture, beauty, right? Beauty and sorrow. This is a very beautiful city called Pasture, right? But in a beautiful city, there's a very, very sad, sorrowful story that a widow had only one son and he died. So beauty and sorrow. So from this story, you can see Jesus indeed loved this widow very much. He was there, you know, for a priest, for a rabbi, you should not touch the dead body, but Jesus touched the coffin, right? And stopped it and raised up the son. You know, today in a many beautiful city like Los Angeles, it's a beautiful city. Not including the mountain, though. The weather is beautiful. But in beautiful city, there are sorrowful stories also. There are sorrowful stories. Like, can you imagine, like, we keep saying it. In Africa, you may not find people with depression. May not find people with depression, right? But over here, there are many insomnia issues. There are many depressed people. There are a lot of people worried to the point that they cannot fall asleep. So even though you may live in the best city, but still there were a lot of sad stories occur. And Jesus is the solution. Can you imagine if this widow lost this son? He lost the future hope. Because at that generation, again, women have no social status. Her own hope is the son. And Jesus came and restored her hope. So really, Jesus loved widows. Do you notice that in the Bible, a lot of times, it is widows who take care of the prophets? Huh? Why did God allow a widow, especially Gentile widow, take care of Elijah? Zarephath's widow. Zarephath was already out of the land of promise. I mean, it is not promise. It is not in Israelites. It's not in Canaan. Why God allow a Zarephath woman, Zarephath de Guahu, take care of Elijah? Why? You know, the Bible says, God is the God of widow and orphan. God love widow and orphan. God wants you, want any one of us to love widow and orphan too. And a lot of time, widow take care of the prophet because through that way, God will resurrect, for example, the son of the widow, or give them oil and flowers in the famine age. Through this, through take care of the prophet, God raise up, God feed the widows. So indeed, a lot of time we think many sad stories on earth, right? But really, God's love is for them. This is the heart of Jesus Christ. So in this story, we know that, again, Jesus loved women, not widows. I think I will stop here. I want to talk about homework, because yesterday your counselor wanted me to give you homework. And can you do this homework? Because we are talking synoptic, right? Can you find an event, a story, or an event, or miracle, that any miracle that's recorded in Book of Luke, you also can find it in Book of Mark and Matthew, right? And collect the different information and present it as a whole story, and what you can learn from that story. Make sense? Especially when you are trying to preach in the future, that you want to preach a for example, the bleeding woman, you should not only reference Book of Luke, you should reference other books. And then you can get a better pictures. Okay? This is number one homework. And yesterday, I think Jerusalem is also a very important topic. Jesus is focused on Jerusalem. Jesus want to go to Jerusalem. What do you learn from this event? Well, Jesus was going to Jerusalem. And from those events, for example, Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem. What does it mean to you, stay in Jerusalem? What can you learn by staying in Jerusalem? What does it mean to you? What can you do for Jerusalem? This is application, right? Something like that. I guess I will give you these two, and maybe your counselor will give you more. I hope we do not give you too much stress, and you can spend more time in prayer. I will conclude my class here. Let's pray in silence.